Whatever the answer, Roland could have killed him with his bare hands as he lay pinned beneath the machine that had struck him, and never mind that King hadn't been driving the van. If he had been doing what Ka had meant him to be doing, he never would have been here when the fool came calling, and Jake's chest wouldn't have that terrible sunken look. It was too much, coming so soon after Eddie had been bushwhacked. "And yet, don't move," he said, getting up. "Oi, don't let him move."
"I won't move."
Every word still clear, still sure. But now Roland could see blood also darkening the bottom of Jake's shirt and the crotch of his jeans, blooming there like roses. Once before, he died and had come back. But not from this world. In this one, death was always for keeps. Roland turned to where the writer lay. 2. When Brian Smith tried to get out from behind the wheel of his van, Irene Tassenbaum pushed him rudely back in. His dogs, perhaps smelling blood or oi or both, were barking and capering wildly behind him. Now the radio was pounding out some new and utterly hellish heavy metal tune. She thought her head would split, not from the shock of what had just happened, but from pure racket. She saw the man's revolver lying on the ground and picked it up. The small part of her mind, still capable of coherent thought, was amazed by the weight of the thing. Nevertheless, she pointed it at the man, then reached past him and punched the power button on the radio. With the blaring fuzz-tone guitars gone, she could hear birds as well as two barking dogs and one howling, well, one howling whatever it was.
"Back your van off the guy you hit," she said, slowly. "And if you run over the kid again when you do it, I swear I'll blow your jackass head off."
Brian Smith stared at her with bloodshot, bewildered eyes.
"What kid?" he asked.